In general, Trump must be regarded as a gift of God for the holders of precious metals, because his policies increase the deficit. There's no question about this. And as the deficit goes up, it will necessitate sooner or later to pursue an even easier monetary policy, even expansionary than we have at the present time. And here I need to stress one point. Investors look at the market and they say, okay, interest rates are too high or they've gone up, and therefore money has become tight. I disagree with that. In fact, I would argue that there is more liquidity in the system today than there was when interest rates were at zero.
Dr. Mark Faber, editor and publisher of the Gloom, Boom, and Doom Report. How are you today, my friend?
I'm very well, thank you very much, and I hope the same for you and your viewers and listeners.
Yes, doing very well. Looking very much forward to talking with you. I spent a lot of time in Florida at a conference and with a lot of different companies, mining companies, and there's a lot of buzz about tariffs and their impact on everything from precious metals to raw materials, critical minerals. What are your thoughts on the Trump tariffs? How is that going to play out? And yeah, just what are your thoughts?
Well, the answer is nobody knows for sure what the impact will be. In general, if we look at tariffs as a tax, which it is collected from some people. And as you know, taxation can be rolled over to other people if it touches you. But exactly how it will impact the global economy is not sure. Most likely, the Trump tariffs are very negative for the United States, and they're a very unfair tax on the middle class, the lower classes of income recipients in America, and do not touch the wealthy people. On the contrary, the wealthy people may benefit. But this would be my assessment. Now, the problem with Trump is that he may take a decision today, and today he may reverse the decision, or he may alter it and have all sorts of exceptions. It's very difficult to, I suppose, for a businessman to operate in the environment of the government intervening in the economy as much as Mr. Trump and his staff is doing. In my view, it's very negative, actually.
It certainly seems like they've had an impact just on about everything, not only the consumer, as you mentioned, the middle and lower class, economic class consumers, if you would. For example, I'm just looking at the price inflation that I'm seeing. This is anecdotally, just whether that's an electronic device or whether that's buying a hamburger. I'm just in shock about how prices have gone up. But what impact, if any, do you see this having on precious metals?
I think that the tariffs by themselves do not have much of an impact on the price of precious metals. But in general, Trump must be regarded as a gift of God for the holders of precious metals, because his policies increase the deficit. There's no question about this. And as the deficit goes up, it will necessitate sooner or later to pursue an even easier monetary policy, even expansionary than we have at the present time. And here I need to stress one point. Investors look at the market and they say, okay, interest rates are too high or they've gone up, and therefore money has become tight. I disagree with that. In fact, I would argue that there is more liquidity in the system today than there was when interest rates were at zero. And it's difficult to measure liquidity, but I can say that if money was really tight, bitcoins wouldn't make a new high. Gold wouldn't make a new high. Silver wouldn't make a new high. The stock market wouldn't make a new high. And the bond market would be acting better, because in a tight monetary environment, the bond market would smell that the recession is going to happen. But no, the bond market is actually acting badly. In other words, the bond market doesn't have much confidence that money is tight. In fact, as they cut rates after September 2024, in an environment of Fed fund rate cuts, the bond market should rally somewhat, but no, it didn't happen. So,
go ahead.
My view is that money is actually plentiful, and many analysts have been wrong about the stock market because they thought, oh, money's tight. Money, if money was tight, the dollar would be strong.
Right.
That is the clearest sign. And, you know, I'm telling people, we are in an environment of monetary inflation. And in monetary inflation, it's very difficult to measure. Say, I have portfolios, they are valued in euros. I have portfolios that are very valued in dollars. And I personally, I look at essentially asset prices in terms of gold and silver and platinum, because I think that is the fair reflection of the rate of price depreciation in terms of purchasing power. And when I look at all these things, the stock market, some people say, oh, it's making a new high. Nonsense. Making a new high in nominal terms, but not in euro terms, not in gold terms.
Right. So about all of that, I would 100% agree with you, actually. I just need a comment about that. I see liquidity in this system, and you fully expect that to continue. So it's hard to, correct me if I'm wrong, so it's really hard to bet against stocks because of the liquidity. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I think that is the conclusion, that in the current environment, it is conceivable that stocks stay at this level in America or even go up, but that the dollar goes down. So you should be short dollar rather than stocks, I suppose.
Right. We talked about, you mentioned the bond market. Do you see a lot of stress in the bond market, or do you fully expect another quantitative easing or buying, I should say, with the Federal Reserve buying the longer bonds, because to provide liquidity into it?
I don't see any stress because the credit spreads are very narrow. If we had stress, then the credit spreads would widen considerably, but that hasn't happened. And the bond auctions are actually quite strong.
Yeah.
That's why I'm telling you, I think when people talk about liquidity having tightened, they're wrong. I don't think the liquidity is tight at all.
Yeah, I would 100% agree. I don't think it's tight at all either. And I think that's reflective in the markets, if you would. There's so much money flowing into the markets.
Look, take my case. 5 years ago, on my liquidity, and because of the nature of my business, I have liquidity. And of course, not everything is in liquid assets. I have also investments. But on the liquidity, I was getting zero interest. Now I get 4.5%. My cash flow, my liquidity position has actually increased. It's a joke because most people are struggling. But mine has improved.
Yeah.
So, as an economist, I don't like it. As a private investor, I love it.
Yes. Yeah, well said. So really, where are you looking to put money then? What to protect yourself and your portfolios against this monetary inflation and liquidity that you have? But it's also hard to find deep value now. Is that correct?
Well, I think if I look around the world and stock markets, what strikes me is that for the last 10, 15 years, say after 2009, low was on March 6, 2009, S&P 666. After that, the US market has performed superbly. And European markets, and especially emerging markets, and specifically Hong Kong, China, did miserably. So we have an environment when if you ask people, well, what do you do? The investor has to decide, does he buy the stocks that are making new highs, like NVIDIA, that are highly priced, or does he buy the depressed sectors in the market? In my view, he should buy the depressed sectors, mostly the emerging markets, because there's nothing particularly good about emerging markets, except they are relatively inexpensive. I mean, I live in Thailand. There's nothing good about the Thai economic political situation. But the country functions and the asset values are relatively low. The market has been going down. This year we're down something like 20%. And I think if you buy, say, Thai stocks, or you buy Hong Kong shares, over 5 years, you will have a reasonably good return. I mean, I've been telling people, and everybody in Hong Kong knows me as Dr. Doom, because during the boom in Hong Kong, I was very negative about the real estate market. But now that property prices are down so much, And we have deflation in China. So the price level is not cheap, that I want to make clear, but relative to other cities in Europe and America, Hong Kong is now more affordable than it ever was before. So I think that Hong Kong offers investors with an opportunity. Singapore, the same.
So you're still finding a lot of, or you see a lot of value, and you put money in the emerging markets such as Singapore, and I hate to call them emerging markets because I don't think they're no longer emerging.
Of course not, but they are. I group them into emerging markets because they are within emerging economies and frontier economies. But I also look at Latin America, and I think in Latin America, we have an opportunity in countries like Brazil, Colombia, Chile, Peru.
I'm going to comment real quick about, you talked about the high in 2000, I want to say 2007 or 2008, and then the low in 2009. I have a really good friend, an old friend of mine, that's an accredited investor who subscribed to your report. And we were talking about you in 2009, and you called the top, and then he immediately interrupted me. He said, Mark Faber also called the bottom. That was back in, I said, so well done.
So yes, I was lucky because Bloomberg interviewed me in 2009. And I told him that the mood, actually the interview was on March 6th. And at the time, the mood was extremely negative. And I have, at the time, I had close contact to other strategists like Rosenberg and fund managers and so forth. They all say the S&P, at the time it had dropped to 666, the S&P will go down to 400. And I told Bloomberg, no, in my view, the market is bottoming right here because the mood was so negative. I pay a lot of attention to investor sentiment. It's like in Asia. Until, say, 3 months ago, foreign fund managers were selling Asia. There were two or three fund managers that were buying Asia, but very few. They were selling Asia. And now suddenly these characters are waking up and they say, we have no exposure to Asia. We better buy something. So then they buy the blue chip stocks, the big market cap stocks. And we had big moves in stocks. And I think at the moment, everybody's was very bearish about Thailand. I think the market is bottoming out here in Thailand.
Yeah. I remember.
There's nothing spectacular about Thailand, but the place is very safe. Mm-hmm. There's not much crime. There is some crime, but not much.
Yeah. I remember that time, and I took it as, I remember I was pretty much out of the market. I had gold, but I just felt so bad. And I remember thinking that's exactly a buy indicator because of my own negative outlook. It was just so negative, like I've never experienced it.
Yes, I also sometimes think of myself. When I'm very optimistic about something or very pessimistic, then I say, maybe I should do the opposite of what I think.
Absolutely. So that leads me to gold. Gold's been just ripping, going higher. And two things, I see it going much, much higher. I think, you don't want to say inevitable, but it's almost inevitable. But what's given me pause is just my own optimism in that. What are your thoughts on precious metals? I mean, we can absolutely experience a correction here, but what is your outlook? Are we still in the beginning stages or are we getting towards the end?
This is a very good question. And of course, I've been positive about owning precious metals for the last 40 or 50 years. And I've told people to accumulate every month some precious metals. And my view has been consistent. You cannot trust central bankers, including Mr. Bessent, or especially Mr. Bessent. He was a hedge fund manager working for Soros. That is not exactly a stamp of great quality approval in my book of ethics. But anyway, I would tell investors, The financial system, such as we know today, is not sustainable. This money printing we have, the deficits we have, and so forth, they will have to be corrected at some point. Now, is it going to happen this year, or in 10 years, or even 20 years? We don't know. But it's not sustainable. It is sustainable in the sense that as long as central banks can print money, they can postpone the problem. But the problem, of course, magnifies itself because at some point, money printing leads to price increases in consumer goods. Now, 1980 to recently, to say 2020, we had mostly asset inflation. Prices of real estate, prices of commercial properties, prices of stocks, bonds, and so forth, all went up. But now we have price increases. And so for the majority of people, the standards of living are going down because their cost of living is going up more than their earnings. So the standards of living is going down, and that will create a lack of demand. You look at the housing market, the housing industry, the prices are near highs. Okay, they're down, say 10, 20% from the peak, but they're still much higher than in the last bubble in 2006, 2007. The problem is the affordability. Goldman Sachs, they produced some graphs which show that affordability is at an all-time low. The price of your parents' house is at a record high, but nobody can buy it. They can buy it if your neighbor sells his house at an inflated price. He can buy your parents' house at an inflated price. But young people who join the labor force at the present time, they have a huge problem of affordability, and not just for housing, for lots of other things as well. So the point is, there are limits to creating prosperity with money printing. You can create an illusion of wealth, that you can, but real wealth you can't create with money printing. Otherwise, we would all be on the beach and we would have money printing machines or computers do the job for us.
That leaves me
My view about the question about is gold and silver still desirable? Look, whoever bought gold in 1980, he paid $800 an ounce. That was the peak of the market at the time. Office gold went down $250 an ounce in 99. So over the period, 1980 to 1999, for 20 years, gold was not a good investment. So I'm telling people, don't put all your money in gold, although it may be the right thing to do, I don't know. But have some gold as a reserve. I think a reasonable reserve is, say, 25 to 30% of your assets in precious metals. But if you talk to Eric Strutt and some other gold experts, they think you should have 90% of your assets in gold.
Yeah.
I have many friends, they have 90% of their wealth in gold or silver or gold mines.
Yeah.
I don't, because I see one thing. If you have good companies, essentially a good company can survive during monetary inflation and it can also survive during war times and so forth. You take, say, the biggest companies in Germany in 1900, BASF and so forth, and Bayer and Mercedes and all these companies, they're still around today. They've done well. And they survived the hyperinflation, they survived the depression years, they survived the First World War, and the and they survived Hitler and so forth and so on. It's remarkable, but that's the fact. In a crisis time, you don't want to be all in cash.
Right. Because they're going to print.
Especially if you look at Mr. Trump.
Yeah. And the Fed. Talk about, if you would, if you have an opinion on the drama going around the Fed. There's a lot of pressure on Jerome, either to get him replaced or to lower rates. And it seems like this is playing out exactly how you said. They're going to print, so it doesn't really matter if it's Powell, because it looks like it doesn't, and it looks like he will be replaced. That's not a prediction, just my thoughts. But whoever else they do put in there, and even if it is Mr. Powell, they're just going to lower rates to continue the stimulus, which is crazy, which is good for gold investors, which I am, but it's just crazy, I think.
Well, I mean, it may surprise you, and I wrote a report recently that I warned my readers not to fall off their chairs, but in 40 years, I have actually something good to say about the Fed chairman. Yes. I've been critical of all these characters. But in the present situation, and the price pressure is still on, and the deficit is still on, the Fed should not cut rates. Actually, I would argue there's a good chance that this year, not that the Fed will do it, but that this year, actually, the Fed should increase interest rates. There's a good chance that prices go up a lot, because the import duties, the tariffs, they will increase the prices of many goods.
Right. Comment, talk a little bit about China. China looks like it's going through a massive deflationary pressure here. Also, this trade war going on. Do you still see China as a place to put money as well as, it just seems like it's a quite the mess right now.
Well, they have one sector that is very messy, and that is the real estate sector. But it's likely to sort of bottom out in the not so distant future. And once it bottoms out, I would not expect a huge increase in prices. Although, you know, it's like in the Western world, the rich people are very liquid. They're buying properties. Because someone who has money in China says to himself, or anywhere in the world, I rather have $10 million in a property than in financial assets, which could go down by 90%. The property, you know, may drop 50%. But if the stock market drops 90% and I drop 50%, then I'm still reasonably well off. I would also like to say that if we have the asset deflation that I would expect, I would think that gold and silver and platinum will also go down in price, but much less than other financial assets.
Yeah.
You know, the stock market, say in 1929, dropped 90%. In Hong Kong in 73, 74, the stock market also dropped 90%. But gold and silver, they didn't go down that much. And in some cases, they went up. So I think that investors are conditioned to think, how do I make the most money? I think the investors should also think, how do I lose the least money if something goes wrong? And that something will go wrong, I can guarantee you. I just don't know when.
Yeah. No, that's great insight. And that's actually, I have two things about that. I was managing a very small fund, or as a partner in a very small fund, during 2007, 2008. And we were actually 50% in gold at the time. We sold off a lot of our assets, not gold, but we sold off a lot of our assets, really listening to you in about 2007. And gold did go down, but relative to everything else, it wasn't that much. And we had a 50% allocation to gold, which was interesting. Walk me through to the end of the year. What are your thoughts? And we'll end on this. What should investors be looking for, be aware of, really, from now until the end of the year of 25?
Well, you know, markets have become very volatile. I mean, this year, essentially, if you switched your money out of dollars into euros, and not that I'm suggesting that the euro is a desirable currency. No, it's probably even worse than the dollar. But by the time Trump was elected, the euro had become very depressed. And so if you switched your money into gold or euro and so forth, you're up without doing anything by 15% this year or more. And I think the dollar may be slightly oversold at the present time and could rally somewhat. But in general, I am much more bearish about the dollar than most people. I think the dollar is a doomed currency. And something that I will never understand. You go to people at the conference or so, or in discussions, and you explain them the monetary system and how essentially money has been created, and the global economy has also been growing, but at an inferior rate. So as a percent of the economic activity, we have a huge financial bubble, bonds and stocks and loans and so forth. Now, you explain this to people and they understand. They know that something is wrong. But then you ask them, by the way, how much of your assets are in gold and silver? I tell you, most people have no gold and silver. And the ones that have, they have 3 ounces or 10 ounces or whatnot. But to find someone who has, say, $100 million in assets and he has $30 million in gold, it's very seldom. Extremely seldom.
Do you see that changing, or are we at a shift now where more people are allocating more to precious metals?
I think that more and more people will wake up, wealthy people, and they will say to themselves, well, what is safe? And they will say, okay, I don't care about the price of gold. I just want to have some money in precious metals and bury them on my farm in Texas or in Hawaii or where, or keep them in a safe deposit box, or keep them in Singapore or Hong Kong or Switzerland and so forth. Because I don't trust anymore the financial system. I have always said it's a big, big mistake of investors to trust central banks.
I would agree.
And governments. You look at the government officials in Europe and in the US, I mean, it doesn't give you a lot of confidence.
Right? Again, do you have any thoughts going into the end of 25, really, as far as markets, as far as policy is concerned?
I think the markets will end up lower than they are now, even in dollars, because I think the economy is much weaker than what the statistics show. And the corporate profits, in my view, will begin to disappoint. You understand, we always have uncertainty in a market, and there are always negative factors and so forth. The problem today, we have so many negative factors that could really go bad, and stock valuations are in the sky. Mm-hmm. And the bond market is not cheap. You know, a 10-year bonds at 4.5%, in my view, the 10-year treasury should be at 6%. But other people have different views. So I'm saying to myself, I want to be diversified. I want to own some stocks, preferably outside the U.S., because I see some value outside the U.S. And I want to own precious metals. I want to have some liquidity, which is invested in bonds and cash. Say the average maturity may be 5 years. And I want to own some shares and real estate. I mean, I'm not wildly bullish about stocks, but I can see that maybe to own some shares is going to be more valuable than to have cash. I'll give you an example. I can buy in Switzerland. The local banks and the insurance companies at a dividend yield of, say, 4%. The 10-year treasury in Switzerland, the government bond, is 0.5%.
Right.
So, you know, there are no, I don't think there are great opportunities, but I think the mining stocks, the mining sector is still cheap. The oil sector is still cheap. Yeah. And one group that has gone down a lot over the last few years are beverage stocks, cognac, whiskey, and so forth. Because it is true, the young people, they don't drink so much. They take drugs.
All right.
And they think that's healthy. But if I look at history, last 5,000 years of history of mankind, people have always smoked, and people have always sinned, and people have always, or they always got drunk. So I'm buying some, you know, beverage companies like Diego and Remy Martin and so forth.
You know, it goes also with your thesis and my thesis. If things get really bad, you want bullets, you want gold and silver, and you want whiskey barter.
Yes. Aside from the gold that you bury in your garden, you keep 200 bottles of whiskey or 300, at least a supply for 3 days.
And also, I remember this was in the mid to late 90s when the fall of the Soviet Union happened. I spent a lot of time in Eastern Europe, and I made a lot of friends over there. And they would go to different Eastern European countries, and they were European. And they always brought, and this was in Czech Republic, they bring Czech liquor and cigarettes, because that's what everybody wanted that was east of them. And that's what they barter with.
In stockings.
Right. So
makeup, stockings, and so forth.
Yeah.
I mean, in rough times, cigarettes become money.
They do. Look what they do in prison. They barter. That's how they pay things.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Okay, well, great.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Dr. Mark Faber, editor and publisher of the Gloom, Boom, Doom Report. I want to thank you so much. I've been quite the fan of yours over the last several years.
Thank you.
And it's great. I would love talking to you. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks a lot. And all the best to you viewers and listeners. I think some caution is necessary at the present time. The mood among investors is too optimistic, in my view.
Yeah, I would agree. Thank you so much. So we'll get you on again really soon.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care.